Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Very recently, Adobe Southeast Asia has published a report, or Asia Pacific actually, has published a report showing the digital trends for this year. This is, of course, its 13th publication. And within it, if you've seen how the focus has always been all about the customer centricity, but more now pronounced than ever. Here to talk about this and more is Simon Dale, joining us from Singapore. Simon is, of course, the Managing Director of Adobe Southeast Asia as well as Korea. Simon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be back, Ibrahim.
And a lot has changed, of course, since the last you were here. We still had the old office and now we are in the new office. We've restructured our own organization. We've made it a little bit more streamlined. But most of all, it's all about the delivery of the products that we bring to the market, which is on customer centricity. Simon, when I read your report, it was always about the interesting digital trends. But what was interesting here is that customer centricity has always been the focus for this year's report. Why do you feel that this has been the case since the pandemic has happened? And what would precipitate this kind of notion of the customers or brands trying to bring the best customer focus through the digital trends right now?
Yeah, great question. I think everybody talked about the acceleration of digital during the pandemic, and it was particularly a focus for a lot of brands to go to their customers directly through digital channels because they had no option. Everybody had to go on digital, both companies and individuals, to live their lives. And so everybody was learning how to interact, how to communicate, and particularly these companies doing it maybe for the first time or doing it at a scale that they'd not done before, realized that you really do need to pay attention to the customer, understand the customer, and also serve the customer in the context of why they're coming to talk to you through those digital channels. Not just have one way of dealing with everybody, but really think about how you personalize that digital experience.
In the report, it's stated here that customer value is created through timely, personalized, and insight-driven branded content. How would brands try to deliver these kind of solutions, i.e. personalized, timely, and try to bring about more insight-driven content?
Yeah, well, it all comes down to data, capturing the data that is thrown off of the way customers deal with you in your digital channels and also in your offline channels. If say you're a retailer or even a government agency, you have people who come into offices to do things with you. You can pick up data about why they're there, what context that is as well. But mostly in the digital, it's a lot easier, and it's about collecting that. It's about really using it in the properly governed way to understand what do your customers need. What part of their journey are they on in the context of your journey as a service provider? Why are they coming together at the same time? And how do you serve them most appropriately? So that's part of the taking the insights, turning it into the context to personalize that experience.
The digital trends report of Adobe, if you read cover to cover, and you capture that spirit of what the report is trying to say, it's basically saying that customer experience and the bar to meet these kind of expectations are rising year on year. Could you share with us how the expectations have evolved and why this phenomenon is more pronounced this year more than before?
Yes, well, as I said, the acceleration of all digital technology meant that more people were using digital channels to engage with brands and customers. And so everybody is improving. Everybody is making investments in this, and everybody is improving their understanding of how to provide a good experience. That means that on the customer side, everyone's getting a slightly better experience or a really good experience from some brands, and that's raising the bar continually. It's a never-ending journey of improvement, which is good for customers. It's a challenge for brands to keep up, but those that don't will find it more challenging to acquire customers, but also to keep those customers over the lifetime of their product or service.
You know, this year has also seen an extreme rise or an extreme adoption of automation, anywhere from computer-generated photos to videos to query prompt AI solutions like ChatGPT. I've also seen some brands, not many, but have adopted the automation and AI solutioning for their customers. And I'm pretty sure that brands are going to apply more AI solutions to their services. How do you position Adobe through these kind of automation? Do you feel that Adobe still has a role to play for your own clients in terms of providing these brands the solutions for their own customers?
Oh, absolutely. We have two different dimensions when it comes to generative AI and AI in general. For quite a number of years, we've had Adobe Sensei, which has been our brand name for all of our AI that we've been researching, developing, and actually including in our products. So if you use some of our customers' websites today, when you go onto the pages, some of the personalization is automated through our AI. It's called A/B testing in marketing speak, but this is now automated using some of our AI that we've built for quite a number of years, and several brands around Asia use that already. Just recently though, last month, we announced our own generative AI called Adobe Firefly and also Sensei Gen AI, because Firefly is all about the creative, generative art, generative side of that creative part of our business. The Sensei Gen AI is about doing more around helping marketers to generate not just nice images, but the right words to go with those images that come up in these digital customer experiences. So we're really advanced in our ability to work with our brands on bringing this capability to market.
So, of course, bringing the right solutions for your own customers would be critical, but workflow improvements on the back end for your own clients are extremely crucial as well. If we've learned anything from the pandemic, it's about trying to find workflow efficiency. Do you feel that through these solutions that you're bringing to the market right now, it's actually going to improve on the workflow improvements for your own clients?
Yes, actually, one of the biggest barriers to delivering a great customer experience through our research was that employees were saying that their legacy workflows were getting in the way, that they weren't keeping up with this demand of scaling content required for digital. So we've invested a lot over the years in content management as a subject, because we have all of our creative tools and professionals producing content, and we need to be able to manage all those assets and help brands to deliver the right asset to the right experience at the right time. So our content management and digital asset management capabilities have been built for that problem for a long time, and we've continually improved them in terms of integrating them with other marketing technologies, such as pushes out to emails or in-app activations to be able to get that right asset and push it into the right channel. So we have an integrated approach to this, which makes it very efficient and requires less IT technical investment and more focus on people being productive in their working lives.
We'll go for one short break before we continue on our conversation with Adobe Southeast Asia and Korea. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Simon Dale of Adobe joining us from Singapore. Simon, early on, before we went into the break, you were talking about how brands need to harness more understanding and insight from their customer data. There would be a lot of challenges for brands and companies to try and harness this. What would be some of the challenges that they need to overcome? And correspondingly, what kind of solutions can Adobe bring to assist them in overcoming these kind of challenges?
Well, there's always a technical challenge with gathering this data and organizing it properly. But I think the more important one is getting the talent to turn that data into insight, which you can make better business decisions with. Now, some of this is being enhanced by artificial intelligence, but mostly it requires people with business knowledge to interpret the data, the signals that are coming from the data, and then make the appropriate decisions. You can't codify everything, because business evolves, customers' expectations evolves. So you can automate some things, but you still need to have that business knowledge coupled with the technical capability. And this is where we come in. We have tools which can help gather the data to turn that data into insights that are aligned to what we know is best practice for customer experience and provide those insights to our business people. Like, how many people are coming to your website? Which part of the website is most attractive? Which part isn't? How far are customers getting in becoming a customer but stopping? And is there a problem or is there an opportunity for you to convert? Malaysia Airlines, for example, we helped them to deliver their website. And they came up with a nice idea of a sticky banner that stays at the bottom of the screen when you scroll. And that actually increased the number of conversions because it kept people moving along the process to go and buy a ticket.
The element of psychology is extremely crucial when we talk about customer experience. And of course, the psychology of the customer might slightly differ on the experience, say, on a desktop website version compared to a mobile, while they're lying down on a sofa or some sort. Do you feel that these kind of human behavior, psychology, organizational psychology, something to this effect, is extremely crucial in designing a solution for your brands, for the customers that you're working with, and in return for their customers moving forward?
Oh, definitely it is. The user experience and user design is a massive factor in everything. But it's also not just the visual design. It's actually a little bit of, from a previous study we did in digital trends, it's about empathy. It's really about understanding your customer. And let's say the customer has started on the mobile device, say that while they're on the way home, but then they go to the desktop and they do and carry on the process there. Understanding that your customer has made that transition is important because you can continue the experience instead of them having to start again. And this is where that understanding of the data coupled with the empathy for your customer and the personalization technology required to achieve that all comes together from solutions that we provide.
Which is quite interesting because in the report, it shows that only 8% of Asia Pacific organizations consider their digital customer experience as, to quote, exceptional and able to surprise and delight customers. Do you think that this reflects the kind of reality that is being seen in the markets that you operate in?
Definitely it does. But what we see as well is an intent to solve that issue. We do see people starting to take seriously the need to integrate all of these things. Previously, it's been a bit siloed. So someone will collect the data and then someone different will analyze the data and decide what to do with it. But the delivery of the channels is done by somebody else. Now, the ability to integrate that entire flow of information and the impact it has on the customer experience is really possible. And we're starting to see a lot of the leading brands, and again, Malaysia Airlines is a great example of using multiple of our different solutions to solve different parts of the problem in an integrated way so that the customer experience is seamless.
The organizations that I've spoken with over the years of doing this work, many of them show the good intentions of them trying to be better for their own customers, try to improve their bottom line and the like. However, operationalizing these kind of changes provide the real challenge, the reality of things. As you rightfully pointed out, person A is doing this, person B is doing this, person C is doing something different. It doesn't happen when they don't talk to each other. Management, they don't know the realities of the problems on the ground. The workers, the managers that are actually doing it, board is actually completely siloed from the conversation of the realities of things, and they, you know, rightfully so, think about the fiduciary requirements of their own role. Because of this, do you feel that Adobe has a greater role in not just trying to provide the technical solution for your own customers, but to provide some sort of, I don't know, project management office or advisory role to handhold your clients in order to get them to transform or go through that transformation accurately and efficiently? Where does the Adobe advisory role come into the function of trying to help your own customers?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we do. But we also do it in partnership. So first of all, what we do ourselves for our customers is we have a digital strategy group whose job it is to work with executives in companies to help them understand the benefits of this kind of digital customer experience technology and where the low-hanging fruit is, what the business case is, how it will stand up, and where the opportunities are to get wins. crucial to any change management project. Then we have our own consulting services, which we can bring, but we also partner with systems integrators and local service organizations in Malaysia in particular, to work on the ground with the customers and, more importantly, the working level underneath executives who really do, you know, the work and need to adopt the new technology and learn the skills and actually make the change happen. So it's a coordinated ecosystem of effort that we coordinate and bring together to help deliver the value and make sure that change is sustainable in our customers.
That would also mean your own team, your own people has to be equipped with managing these kind of clients. It's not just about the technical know-how that they have, but people-to-people relations. Do you feel that is the skill that you need for your own people inside the organization?
Oh, absolutely. I think, first of all, a mentality of being a service provider is very different from the old product vendors, right? And this is one of the reasons that I joined Adobe, and I actually studied Adobe for many years as a case study in cloud transformation before I joined, because Adobe did one of the early moves of becoming a service provider, cloud service provider. And that means that we've had to build the muscle of service. We've had to build the muscle of being able to deliver value to keep our customers happy so that they keep being customers. Because if our service isn't good, they won't use that service anymore. So it's a logical conclusion that we have to focus on value delivery and supporting our customers to maintain and keep increasing the value they get from our products.
I don't know whether you're going to agree with this stereotype, but technical people, they tend to forget that they're in the service industry. And it's it's quite tricky trying to get them. Like I said, everybody's well-meaning, but trying to get them to meet eye to eye, that's another challenge altogether. Anyway, one item that I want to look at is the data that is within the Adobe Digital Trends 2023 that shows that 41% of marketing practitioners find that delivering timely results to their customers is quite challenging. In fact, if I were to quote, 41% of APAC marketing practitioners are facing a challenge to deliver excellent CX and is lacking of time to be creative. Now, that is extremely true. At least in my industry, in my own people, it's very hard to churn out that creative element when, you know, deadlines are being hunted down. And do you feel that this kind of creativity with time is a big challenge to balance?
Yeah, it is when you're having demands at scale, right? This is when you are successful in digital customer experience, you need more content. And you need to create more content. And so it's a never-ending spiral. And this is why, going back to the earlier point about productivity and workflow, right? We've made massive investments, not just in the content and digital asset management, but also in the creative workflows. And just in the past couple of years, in our major events, where we have our experience event that just happened last month, and we also have our creative event that happens every November, you're starting to see a lot of overlap. In that the capability to bring workflow to creatives, and that might be a little bit challenging for some creatives because they don't want structure imposed on them. But their content needs to be delivered efficiently to the point of delivery and consumption. And so there's a lot of steps. You know, it used to be if somebody shoots a really high definition video, it's a USB stick that has to be sent somewhere because the file is so big and all this kind of stuff. We made an acquisition of a company called Frame.io, which is now camera to cloud. So as somebody is filming, the frames can be sent back to the editing suite in low res. Editing can happen. When the high res file arrives, all the edits are applied in Premiere Pro that have been done whilst the file was in transit. So we've got all of these productivity gains for the creatives. That's just one example of where we're trying to make it so that this scale can be matched and the creatives can have the time to focus on that really good job that they do of creating that type of content that's necessary.
And of course, these kind of solutions are not novel, at least for Adobe. We've seen how these kind of solutions are already in the market. Trying to impress upon your clients to adopt these kind of solutions, is that a challenge for you?
It's not everywhere, but it is when somebody is still stuck in their old ways, perhaps, or they haven't yet understood the full benefit or the value of moving. You know what it's like with any change. Sometimes people have to understand why they need to change, and then is it the right time for them? And then is there value in changing? And particularly because we're talking about enterprise businesses where you have competing commitments, then we all have to fight for attention and reach to a point of critical mass where it makes sense to implement a particular change. Thankfully, we have a big enough market across the whole of Asia Pacific and lots of customers at different paths. And as we talked about earlier, some of our digital strategy capabilities and the partners we work with also help our customers to take the plunge and get started on that change.
Okay, we'll go for one short break, Simon. When we come back, we'll conclude our conversation for this conversation on Digital Trends 2023. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Simon Dale of Adobe Southeast Asia. Simon, let's look at the markets that you are overlooking. I'm sure there are peculiarities between the different markets within Southeast Asia and Korea. Maybe you can share with us the kind of quirks that each market presents, and perhaps the kind of insight into which markets you are impressed with and how they can actually inspire other markets that are considered, I guess, laggards in terms of adoption of digital trends in order to bring that kind of high-quality customer experience that is needed for their own clients.
Yeah, well, if you don't mind, I'll start up north with Korea, because I've been looking after Korea at Adobe now for almost 18 months. And what I've been impressed with up there is the fact that their creative economy is a $10 billion US dollar export industry. It's over $100 billion domestic economy. And you can see it. Like, I've lost count of the number of people who watch K-drama or are fans of K-pop. And we see Netflix has got lots of Korean content as well, right? So you see that economy is very, very strong, and it's benefited our business as well. So I find that really interesting. And I start to see those trends in Southeast Asia happening as well. Up in Thailand, for example, there's a very big creative economy that's growing, and there's some, you know, very good Thai films and dramas that I've seen in the past. And you start to see that in other parts as well across the region. The other thing that is interesting is the diversity in industries. You start to see one of the things in Korea I've observed more of is manufacturing and global manufacturing of consumer brands and automotives, which I don't have that much in Southeast Asia. Across Southeast Asia, for me, it's more financial services, retail, government, and telecoms, very consumer-oriented industries. A lot more B2B up in Korea, and starting to see that the B2B industries in Southeast Asia are starting to pay more attention to direct to their customers as a digital customer experience, because it's more productive for them. And that's placing demands for a different type of content, more precision content, more high quality content for business buyers to be able to inspect online and look at. And that's where I've started to see quite a lot of traction in some of our 3D capabilities. We made another acquisition a number of years ago called Substance, which allows us to produce very high resolution photorealistic images purely digitally. So we're, again, disrupting the workflow of physical product development. You know, you could produce a car now completely virtually, and that's just got a sustainability angle to it. And you know, we'll rapidly develop different colors and configurations of that car for catalogs and so on, even before manufacturing. So there's many, many ways some of this tech can change traditional industries and help them accelerate their digital transformations as well.
What about Malaysia? What kind of observations can you make on Malaysia?
Well, certainly in the past 3.5 years since I've been at Adobe, I've seen Malaysia really accelerate on the trend of digital customer experience in financial services and telco. We have some great customers up there. And also, as I said, Malaysia Airlines, even before the COVID pandemic, was one of our top customers in digital customer experience. And it's roaring back in its use of our technologies to get back into that market and ramp up again its passenger loads. So I think Malaysia has got some very, very good domestic digital customer experience skills to leverage and to penetrate. And I can see that also as companies are successful and they start to expand, then we can help them across the region as well.
Final area of conversation is on the social media creative industry, TikTok specifically, but generally speaking, anyone else within this creative industry on content creation for social media. Do you feel that Adobe has a role to play in trying to support these content creators to provide that kind of excellent outcome on their social media channels? Where do you feel these kind of individual retail social media creators can fit within the platform or the solutions that Adobe can bring to the market?
Yeah, well, we have the industry standard definition of an influencer, which we align to. And in more general terms, we see, I'm mentioning career again because of that huge creative industry. There's a lot of skills in producing social content from and demands. And people have realized that it needs to be high quality, needs to have a very high production value. And that's where our tools and technologies come in, because they support that. And as I said, some of the improvements we're making in the time to get that content to market are also helping. So one of the things we've recently invested in the last sort of 2 years is Adobe Express. And we made quite a lot of announcements around that in our event just a month ago, which has taken a lot of our really heavyweight video, photo and image and even font editing capabilities, but made them more accessible and lightweight through browsers. So you can go into Adobe Express on a browser and you can get some of the really good capabilities that you would normally have to download Photoshop onto a laptop to get. But you can actually do this now through a browser. So you can quickly edit images to look really good, so you can accelerate the time it takes to get them out into your social channels. And that's making it more accessible to everybody, not just professionals, but people who want to produce more social content as well.
You know, prior to starting this interview, I was just, you know, randomly asking some of my colleagues here, you know, what do you think about Adobe? My own personal Net Promoter Score evaluation, I suppose. Everyone said that they're pretty okay with the product. Some of them even likes it so much that they use it daily. I get that bit. However, pricing could be an issue when it comes to individual creators. You know, with businesses, you know, they factor in that kind of production cost into their annual budget. Do you feel that there would be some room to navigate when it comes to trying to get more retail customers? Would you push prices down in order to get more customers?
Well, we're always looking at our pricing strategies across the region and the ways that we address our consumers, and particularly across Southeast Asia as well, looking at strategies like local pricing or promotions to help it make it more accessible to people. And that's one of the reasons that we also created Adobe Express, again, is to make it more accessible to people, a lower entry point, but getting some of the benefits of our technology. In fact, you know, we're making Adobe Express very accessible to educators, for example, so it's easier for people to start learning those basic digital skills. And if they select, go up a level and go into paid aspects. But we also do work a lot with educators, particularly the ministries of education across the region, so that at schools and teachers in particular have curriculums designed to teach people these basic skills of digital editing for content creation, and have a pathway into the creator economy as well.
Fantastic. Simon, final comments on 2023 Digital Trends, APAC in Focus, Adobe Report?
Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity to go into the detail here. It's a very broad, touching report, but I think particularly for Malaysian organizations and individuals, this world of digital content is going to be always relevant and ever-increasing in demand. So I'd encourage people to learn the skills. Maybe you don't want a career in it, but you'll certainly be able to apply those skills in most jobs out in the market, and it's an increasing demand for them.
Thank you very much. That was Simon Dale, the Managing Director of Adobe Southeast Asia and Korea, joins us after some years since he last appeared on this show. We need to get you more on the show, Simon. He joins us from Singapore. Of course, if you want to learn more, just head on to astroawani.com. There's a lot of resources like this that can be found there as well. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.